Thank you, Nevaeh. Thank you, Trey, for sharing with us today. Isn't God awesome? Amen. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find in bulletin outline of our message, Serving God, Choose or Excuse. We're going to read two verses. I'm going to ask if you're able to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 8, Jesus answered, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. And then in Joshua 24 and verse 15, But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you that you give us an invitation, an opportunity, and a privilege, God, to serve you. Lord, may you inspire us and challenge us today to roll up our sleeves and make a difference now and in eternity. We make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Third grade school teacher asked the class, How do you help around the house at home? And one little girl raised her hand and said, Well, I dry the dishes. Little boy raised his hand and said, Well, I feed the dog. Another little girl said, Well, I sweep the floor. They all talked about what they were doing. But one little fella didn't say anything. And so finally the teacher said, Johnny, what do you do around the house? He said, Oh, teacher, I stay out of the way. I'm going to say that every person in this room today falls into one of two categories. You either choose to serve God or you excuse yourself for not serving God. And our hope today is that everybody will choose to serve God in one way or another way. I want to share with you this morning about why I serve God. The reasons, some of them, and some of the common excuses that I hear. Now notice there that Jesus said, It is written, worship God and serve Him only. God commands every one of us to worship Him and to serve Him. And if you'll turn, I want you to do this, get your bulletin out. I want you to turn on the inside of your bulletin every week. In red letters at the top, it says what? Enter to worship. Down at the bottom, depart to serve. When you come into the lobby, the first thing you see up on the wall there, it says enter to worship. And when you leave, as you go out the doors, it says go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. In other words, we come into worship, God fills us up, and then we go out into the world to serve Him and to serve others. Well, let me give you a couple of reasons why I serve God. Number one, I serve God because He is worthy of our service. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, and we pray this, in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. I believe you ought to serve God because He's worthy of your service. One of the best war movies that I have ever seen was a movie called Saving Private Ryan. The beginning scene there on D-Day when they stormed Normandy is a horrific sight that everybody ought to have to watch to get some kind of understanding of what the American GI has sacrificed so that we can have our freedoms today. But the whole movie is about a family who had four sons. Three of them have already been killed at D-Day, and they're trying to get to that last one so that this one family doesn't lose every one of their children in the war. And his name was Ryan, Private Ryan. And they're hunting everywhere, and they're looking for him, and at the end they find him, and they're in a battle. Tom Hanks, who plays the captain of this platoon, who is looking for Private Ryan. Prior to the war, he had been a school teacher. And so he's out there, and he's the captain of this platoon. And they're on a bridge, and they get in a firefight with the Germans, and he gets wounded, and the character that Tom Hanks plays is dying. And Private Ryan goes over there, and he grabs him, and he pulls him down, and as he's dying, he says, "Be worthy of this. Be worthy of this." And at the end of the movie, it shows Private Ryan going back over there. And he's standing out there in that graveyard of all of those crosses. And he looks at his family and he says, "Say, I'm a good man. Say, I've lived a good life. Say, I've been worthy of the sacrifice." Well, you know, those soldiers died unintentionally. They didn't sign up to die. They didn't leave here and go over there and fight in order to die. But Jesus left heaven for the sole purpose of dying for our sins. Jesus' death was intentional. "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." A soldier may die. He don't want to, but Jesus came and willingly laid down his life. He is worthy of our service. Number two, I serve God because I am rewarded. God blesses you when you serve Him. In Luke 18, verse 29, verse 30, "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. It costs something to serve God. It's going to cost you time, effort, energy, money, talent. It's going to cost you something to serve God. But I want you to know it pays more to serve God than it costs to serve God. And I could stand here and I could talk all day long about how God has blessed my life because I have said, "All right, Lord, I'm going to worship and serve you." I'm just going to give you two. One a long time ago, one recent. When I went to college and was preparing for the ministry, I got down to the end and I had to borrow a bunch of money to finish school. I didn't have the money. My mom had died, and I was put out, and I had to get me a place to live, make a living, and pay for school. And so I had to borrow a bunch of money. I'm in my first church. Pastor, I'm 23 years old. Now, the college foundation loan that I had went something like this. You don't have to pay any of it back until 9 months after you graduate. I think that's why some of these kids stay in school so long. And so here I am, and I'm in my first church, and it's coming up, and I'm going to start paying this college loan back, right? Well, I had three women in the church that had never got married. They were school teachers, and they came up to me and said, "Pastor, we've heard about your situation, and we believe God wants to help you." And each one of them wrote me a check, and did you know, for the first 2.5 years, I didn't even have to make a single payment. Every bit of it was paid by these three school teachers. You see, you can't outgive God. Let me give you an example yesterday. I'm up here working a car show, and it's time to eat. I'm going to go back there, and I'm going to get me some of that good food that they had. I'm standing in line. I reach back there, and I get my wallet, and there's a couple behind me. I'm trying to dig my money out of my wallet, and they said, "Oh, no, you're not paying for yours today." I said, "Yeah, I got it. It's right here. It's right here." It says, "No, we got it." They pushed me out of the way and said, "We're buying three." And so, folks, whether it was 40 years ago and somebody says, you know what, I'm going to bless you with your school, or if it was just yesterday, somebody says, I'm going to bless you with lunch. It costs you something to serve God, but it pays more in this life, and Jesus said in the next life. And if God would bless you this much in this world, what do you think He's going to do in the next world? And it's going to be forever and ever and ever. I believe you all serve God because He's going to reward what you do. Number three, I serve God because it blesses others. In 2 Corinthians 7:13, by all of this, we are encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. Who is the we? He says, by all of this, we are encouraged. It's the Apostle Paul. It's Barnabas. It's Apostle Luke. And then he says, plus Titus. Do you understand that Luke and Paul wrote more than half of the entire New Testament? And here's what he says to the church at Corinth. You have encouraged us. You have blessed us. You have refreshed us. I don't know about you, but I love seeing other people get blessed by God. And let me tell you how other people get blessed by God. By you serving. By you serving. I want you to think about what happened a while ago, huh? How many of you were blessed by little Nevaeh singing, 5 years old? See, you got blessed by a five-year-old. And her brother Trey, he's what, 10? You got blessed by his signing. But notice there, they had to have somebody in the sound booth. They had to have somebody up here in the video booth. You understand it took every one of those people doing their parts. And what happened? You got blessed. You say, I want to serve God because I love seeing God bless other people. Number four, I serve God because it brings me joy. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. You know what he would say? He's saying those people brought him great joy as he served God. I believe when you serve God and you do it in the name of Jesus, whether no matter what it is, I believe joy is one of the things that God blesses you with. I'm excited to see Rusty and Chebra in worship today. But let me tell you, last year, my faith team had the opportunity to go to their house and share the gospel. And while we were there, Rusty gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ, and I got to baptize him. Oh, it was a great day. It was a great day. And as soon as we got through, his mom, who was staying there with him down in the basement, said, we got to go down there and tell Mama Lois. And so we went down there and we told his mom. Well, she started weeping tears of joy. She said, you know what? I prayed for this for years. Well, this past week, Lois went home to be with the Lord. And I had the privilege to conduct her funeral. Did you know, even in the midst of grief, there is joy in serving God. Folks, you can't explain it, but let me tell you something. You can experience joy unspeakable. And then number five, I serve because it helps me to grow as a Christian. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Now notice here what he said to the church. He said, you're growing. You're growing in faith. You're growing in love. Now how many of you would like to grow in faith? How many of you would like to grow in love? Well, the key to that is serving God and serving others in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? I'm glad you're here at worship. I believe everybody ought to worship God. And we ought to come in here with an empty cup and say, God, fill it up till it overflows and it spills on somebody else. But folks, you're never going to grow as a child of God if all you do is come and sit and say, bless me, God, and you never do anything with what God blesses you with. You see, some of you need to go to the next level. Instead of coming and just worshiping, you need to come, worship, and then serve God. You need to get plugged into a ministry if you want to grow as a child of God. And then number six, I believe another reason people ought to serve God, the reason I serve God, is because I love Him. I believe if you love God, you want to serve God. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Did you notice there that he said you can't serve two masters? You're going to love one? You notice how serving and loving are connected. If you're going to love God, you're going to serve God. If you serve God, it's because you love God. The two of them are connected. And I believe if you love God, you're going to serve Him. Notice here what He says in John's Gospel. If you love me, do you love Him? If you love me, you will obey what I've commanded. What's the first verse we read? Worship the Lord and serve Him only. Both of those are commands. And if I love God, I'm going to worship Him and I'm going to serve Him. In verse 21, he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. You want God to show up in your life? You want God to display His glory and His majesty and His power in your life? You want me to tell you how that happens? You love Him, and that love translates into service, and God says, I will love you and show myself to you. You know what I'm talking about, parents. I mean, why do you change a dirty diaper? Why do you wipe a snotty nose? I mean, why do you get up in the middle of the night to feed that squalling youngin'? I mean, why do you spend the weekend in the emergency room? Why are you out there on that ball field and sweat just running all down your back? You do it because you love your child. And if you love your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you will serve Him. But let's be honest. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is serving God. Not everybody that says, I love God, is serving God. And why is that? They have an excuse. Well, let's look at a couple of them, can't we? This is not all of them. The list is not exhaustive. But here's some of the excuses I hear. And I hope that if you're not serving God, and these are one of your excuses, you'll realize it's not going to stand before God. Number one, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to serve God. Luke 7:7. This is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word and my servant will be healed. First off, let me say this. Nobody's worthy to serve God, but God makes you worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? But here's this centurion, and his servant is sick, and he's asked Jesus, he sends word, said, Jesus, just say the word. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. I don't even deserve you to come in under my house. I'm not worthy. And you know what Jesus said about this guy? He said, no greater faith in all of Israel that I have found than that man. And yet that man thought he wasn't even worthy. Listen, if God's called you, you're worthy. Number two, I'm not qualified. Well, I can't do that. Moses tried that. Didn't work for him either. Exodus chapter 4. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you and speak, and you speak. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. I'm just not qualified to serve God. If God calls you, you're qualified, okay? God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And listen, there are two ways that you can serve God. One of those requires a skill, and one of them doesn't require a skill. For example, some things require skill. Like if you're going to play the piano, if you're going to play the guitar or the fiddle, you have to have the skill. In other words, I can't say, oh, I'll do that, and I'll just volunteer. Now, you understand that there are other things that you can do that don't require any skill. It takes no skill to take up chairs. It takes no skill to set up tables. It takes no skill to take out the trash. And yet, those things need to be done around the house of God. And so, when it says qualified, there are some things that you can do, and you don't have to have a great skill set. All you have to do is have a willing spirit. Let me tell you how simple some of this is. In our new audio, video, and lighting that we have here in the church, we have live streaming. People are watching what's happening today all around the world. Rose Sheely is the ministry team captain, okay? She needs some help in her ministry. She said, I can show you what to do in 30 minutes or less. It's that easy. But I want you to think about what happened here a couple of months ago. We had one of our men on his job. He was in Hong Kong, and he was watching the services live. We had another one of our men. He was on a mission field in Ukraine. He was watching the services live. We had a couple that was on their 25th wedding anniversary down in Cancun, Mexico, watching our services online. Now, folks, that's just the church members. All of this was happening at the same time in Mexico, Ukraine, in China, all of it happening at the same time. And you can have a part of that. Just by sitting down and letting somebody take 30 minutes, show you what to do. I'm not qualified. Well, you can get qualified. Number three, it's not my responsibility. Exodus 4:13. But Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else. I don't know how many times I've heard that in 40 years of ministry. Well, somebody else will do that. I'd like to meet someone else. I've been looking for this guy for 40 years and I hadn't found him yet. Someone else. You know who the someone else is? That's you, that's you, that's you, that's you, that's you. You're the someone else. Now some people will say, oh, well, Anthony Grove is a big church. You don't need my service. Listen, folks, the bigger the place is, the more volunteers you need, not the less volunteers you need, because you got more things going on. But let me ask you something. If you're not going to do it, who's going to do it? If it's not your job, whose job is it? We have six staff members here. They can't do everything. I promise you that. Okay, so the volunteers, if people don't say, all right, I'm going to come and I'm going to get involved. And so they say, well, it's not my responsibility. Get somebody else. In other words, Moses gave God all these excuses. When God knocked all of his excuses out, finally he came clean and said, God, just get somebody else. Just get somebody else. But you know what? God didn't let Moses off, and God's not going to let you off. He's going to keep calling. He's going to keep knocking. He's going to keep asking for you to be involved in a ministry. Now, let me just say, when he's talking about responsibility, like our environmental projection up here, we need some geeky, nerdy computer people that can create some of this stuff, okay? Are you one of those? Well, go out there after church and sign up. But did you know, Bill, where was Bill? Bill went up there a while ago. You don't have to be a nerd, do you, Bill? No. All you have to do is know that this button right here, press this button. Yep. When those words get done, I press the next button. How many of you can press a button? Let's practice. See if you can press a button, huh? You see, everybody can have a part in ministry. Number four. Well, if I do this, it won't make any difference. but it will. 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. You see, sometimes if I do this, it's not going to make any difference. And that's not true. You see, the person who plants the seed, they may not see something right then. The person who waters the seed, they may not see something right then. And then the harvest would come along. But listen, you can't be a harvester unless somebody planted. You can't be a harvester unless somebody waters it. Let me give you an example of how simple this is. We had some invite cards. That is, it's just, hey, we'd like to invite you to church. Give them a card. It has a map on the back. It has the times of our services. And we have thousands of these here. And a woman in our church named Joy, she took some of those cards, went around her neighborhood, and just handed them out in the neighborhood. Say, hey, I'd like to invite you. One of the people that they invited it to got the card, came to church, sat on the back row. Wearing a skull cap. Yeah. He sat back there like this. Bless me if you can. After church was over, I ran into him at the Zaxby's. And he said to me, he said, preacher, I was at your church today. He said, I got all kind of doubts. I got all kind of issues. I said, brother, you just keep on. You just keep on seeking after God. You just hang in there. And let me tell you what happened. He kept coming, gave his heart and his life to Jesus Christ, went through our faith ministry. He's become a soul winner. He's in our music ministry. He's in our drama ministry. He's one of our youth workers and one of our youth counselors. I'm talking about none other than Phil sitting right here on the second row. And let me tell you how all of that started. Yeah. All of that started because Joey Sellers handed out an invite card and said, I'd like to invite you to my church. Every person you touch, she's going to get a part of that reward. You see, she planted, somebody else watered, and God gave the increase. And so when you think, I'm not doing any good, I'm working in the nursery, I'm working in wee kids, I'm working with these little babies, I don't see any results, you're planting, somebody else is going to water, and God is going to bring a harvest. Yes. Number five. Well, I tried to serve God and I failed. In Acts 16:6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bethania. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. Now notice here, Paul and his companions, they're trying to serve God. Didn't work. Trying to serve God. Didn't work. Trying to go over here. Didn't work. You know what happened? Later on, God is going to open up a door and it's going to be amazing what God did. And so some of you are saying, well, you know, I tried that before and it didn't work. Just because it didn't work then don't mean it won't work now. You understand the difference between a foul ball and a home run is timing. Sometimes you might be doing the right thing at the wrong time. You understand the difference between a foul ball and a home run? See, sometimes if you hit it and you knock it out of the park. But if you swing too early, it's fouled left. If you swing too late, it's fouled right. But if you hit it at the right time, you knock it out of the park. And see, maybe you tried before and it wasn't God's timing. Did you know J.C. Penney, when he died, he had the largest retail business in the world? But you know, prior to that, he went bankrupt two different times. Thomas Edison has more patents than any other person who's ever lived. Did you know he failed 10,000 times before he invented the light bulb? And so because you tried before and you didn't get the results you want, doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to try now. And then number six, well, I don't serve God because I'm too young. I don't serve God because I'm too old. In 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. I can't serve God because I'm too young. Listen to me, young people. When service is over, you go over there and look at those different ministries. You see something you'd like to do, go ahead and sign up for it. You don't have to be 40 years old to serve God. You don't have to be an adult to serve God. Listen, nobody here can say, I'm too young after Neve got up here and blessed our hearts by singing. Nobody can say, I'm too young. Okay? But you see, sometimes what happens is we get older and they say, well, I've done my part. Let me tell you, if your part was done, you'd be in heaven. Exodus 7:7. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. You're not too young and you're not too old to serve God. Sitting right back here is Jane McLam. I told her, I said, I'm going to talk about you. She said, you better not do it. I said, I am. I'm going to talk about you. Jane McLam is 83 years old. And let me tell you what she does every week. She goes around to the nursing home and she goes around and she finds somebody that nobody's visited. And she'll go in there and say, can I pray with you? Can I read the Bible to you? Listen, she's 83 years old. She still drives her own car. She's out there telling people about Jesus Christ. Where is Chloe Hall? Over here is Chloe. All right, Chloe's 13 years old. She comes every Monday night to faith evangelism training. She's learning how to share faith. She goes out on the team to share the gospel. And so whether you're 13 or whether you're 83, you can serve God. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. If you've got a willing spirit, God can use you. God can use you. The number one reason that I get from people that are not in ministry, not serving God, is I don't have time. I don't have time. Ephesians 5:16 says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you say, you know what, I'd love to do some of this, Pastor, I just don't have time. I want you to know it's just not true. You have 24 hours in every day, just like everybody else. It's not some of these other folks who got 28 hours and you only got 22. All of us have 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week. Everybody has the same amount of time. And so when you say, I don't have enough time, that's just not true. When I was a kid, we grew up poor. Anybody else grew up poor? We grew up poor, and whatever you put on your plate, you better eat. And you weren't going to get up until you cleaned your plate. Now, that worked pretty good when you're a kid, but when you get about 40 years old, if you pile it on your plate and you eat all of it, it starts piling on you, okay? Because you don't burn it off like you were when you was a kid. But what happened was, is my mother taught us it was a sin to waste food. Any of you ever get taught that? It was a sin to waste food. And she'd say, there's a lot of children over in Africa or China that like to have that. And I made the mistake one time and said, well, here, just send it to them. I never made that mistake twice. But you want me to tell you what's worse than wasting food? And that's wasting a life. And what is your life except for time? I mean, think about it. How do we measure our life? Time is a non-renewable resource. You can waste money and get it back, but if you waste time, you can't get it back. Make the most of every opportunity. Use your time. Your time is your life. And if you're wasting time, you're wasting your life. And you can't get it back. You can't get it back. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many of you are too busy? Oh, Bridget, I'm just too busy. Let me tell you what that tells me. If you're too busy, you're out of the will of God. You're out of the will of God if you're too busy. Why is that? There is a time for everything. And so if you don't have enough time, you're doing stuff God don't want you to do. But I guess for that, for most of us, it's not we got too much that we're doing. It's that we're doing too much. It's not important. Well, I don't have time, preacher, but I've got hours and hours to watch meaningless television. I don't know about you, there's 1,000 channels on cable of nothing. 1,000 cables of nothing. And we have hours and hours. And remember, that's your life. You're never going to get it back. And you gave it to the television. Well, I don't have time to serve God. But you've got time to spend hours and hours playing video games. Oh, listen, and I'm going to start preaching here in a minute. I don't have time to serve God. I don't have time to serve God. But I got hours and hours and hours to serve Facebook. To be on social media. But I don't have time to serve God. You understand, every breath you take is a gift of God. Your life is a gift of God. And God invites you and God invites me to partner with Him in the kingdom of God. Lastly, the real issue is love. The heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. John 21:15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Peter had let God down. He had denied knowing the Lord. And here he is being restored out there on the Sea of Galilee. And when Jesus said, "Do you love me more than these?" He's talking about, do you love me more than these boats? Do you love me more than these fishing? Do you love me more than your career? Do you love me more than these other people? And he said, "God, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." What was he saying? Peter, if you love me, serve me. Peter, if you love me, serve me. You know what he's saying to us today? If you love me, serve me. And in a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And I'm going to challenge you to come to this altar and say, "God, how do you want me to serve? God, where do you want me to get plugged into?" In a minute, we have the invitation. I'm going to ask you, if you're already serving God, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar and say, "God, I need your power. I need your presence. God, I need your anointing on what I'm doing. God, I'm in over my head. God, I can't do it unless you bless. God, bless me as I serve you." And then for those of you that have been visiting for a while, I want to invite you to join hands with us. If you're going to serve God, you need a headquarters. You need a place. You need a family. You need a team to be a part of. And today we'd like to invite you, if you've been visiting and you're looking for a place to serve God, we invite you, come join hands with us. We'd love to have you on our team. Would you bow your head? Nobody's looking around. When Isaiah got a vision of God, he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Would you pray today, "God, here am I, use me. God, I surrender. Whatever you'd have me to do, just show me." Heavenly Father, Lord, you saved us to serve. God, if you only saved us to take us to heaven, we'd already be there. But God, you've left us here for a reason. Every person in this room has a purpose and a reason that they're here. Or God, you would have already taken them home. Lord, help us to tap in to that reason and purpose. Help us, God, that we will worship you, but also, God, that we will serve you. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions and our commitments. We make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you would, please.